Tamika Catchings is one of the greatest WNBA players of all time.
Catchings thought about it, still thinking about it. Spin move, the take, and two!
Wow.
She's been a champion and an MVP, and she won a league-record 5 Defensive Player of the Year awards. But success didn't always come easy. Only a Game's Jonathan Chang has the story.
When Tamika Catchings was 3 years old, she was at a playground with her family. That's when her parents found out she had a problem.
My dad was behind me, and he was calling out my name. And finally, after calling out my name a couple of times, he basically saw me. It's like, I wasn't moving. I had no recognition that he was even talking to me.
A few years earlier, Tamika's older brother had been diagnosed with a hearing disability. So her parents knew the signs.
And so right after that day on the playground, my mom and dad took me to get my hearing tested, and we found out that, just like my older brother, I was born with a hearing disability.
Soon, Tamika got her first hearing aids. She describes them as big, clunky, brown boxes. Tamika's dad, Harvey Catchings, played 11 seasons in the NBA. Because of that, Tamika's family moved around a lot. When Harvey's basketball career was over, Tamika was in second grade.
We moved down to Abilene, Texas, and the kid just didn't get it. You know, I talked different. I didn't have the southern slang like they had, but then also, like, I had a lisp, and I had to wear hearing aids, and, you know, I was tall, too, so that didn't help. Just the constant nagging and the constant getting made fun of and, you know, just being different, that was tough. In second grade, you can only imagine when you're just trying to fit in, like, that's not what you want to hear, and that's not what you want to get made fun of for.
Then, in third grade,
I remember just waking up one day and I was like, okay, like today's gonna be a good day.
Walking to school with her older siblings, Tamika repeated those words, today is gonna be a good day, over and over again.
But literally, as soon as I walked through the doors, I got made fun of. And I just remember being, you know, trying to be as invisible as I possibly could be, even though I was taller than everybody. And just, you know, trying to blend in, and no matter what I tried to do, I couldn't blend in. On my way home from school, my brother and my sister were in front of me as we were walking past a tall field of grass. And I just remember stopping, and I took one hearing aid out, then I took the other hearing aid out, turned to the field, and just threw them as far as I could. When my mom finally realized that I didn't have my hearing aid, you know, we went and started trying to look for him. Of course, we couldn't find him. So I remember her sitting me down and just saying, you know, your father and I cannot afford to buy you new hearing aids. You're going to have to learn how to live without them.
So Tamika did just that. She learned to read lips, sat in the front row, and studied her textbooks before class. And afterwards, she always talked to her teachers because
I would have words and blank and words and blank, but every time the teacher would turn to write on the chalkboard, I didn't know what they were saying, and so the teachers would have to fill in the blanks.
Tamika's hard work paid off in the classroom. That year, she also started playing organized basketball. Tamika says that on the court, her hearing impairment didn't feel like an issue. She says most of the communication happens through body language anyway. Still, Tamika says that year was one of the hardest of her life.
Because that was the first time that I realized how different I was than everybody else. I would try to guess what people are saying. Instead of really knowing and understanding, you kind of put yourself in a position where you're already at a loss, especially in rooms where there's a lot of people. It was even harder to stay engaged in conversation. And so I started to shy away from wanting to be in big groups, wanting to be in those situations where I would feel that I couldn't hear or I couldn't understand. And so that kind of at that point really where I lost my voice. So it was really hard for me to really have my own group of friends. You know, thank God for my brother and my sister. They literally took me under their arms, and just my sister, wherever she went, I went.
But when Tamika was in sixth grade, her parents broke the news that they'd be getting a divorce. Before her junior year in high school, Tamika and her mom moved to Duncanville, Texas, without her siblings and her dad. Tamika had to learn to speak for herself. It helped that by this time, Tamika had become a star on the basketball court. She no longer stood out because she was different. She stood out because she was good. Good enough to get an offer from her dream school, the University of Tennessee. A A few weeks into Tamika's freshman season at Tennessee, head coach Pat Summitt asked to meet her in the training room after practice.
You can imagine, just like anybody, any kid that thinks they're about to get in trouble, I was like racking my brain. What did I do wrong? What did I say? Did I, you know, what happened? I've been going to my classes. I think I've got good grades. So I can see myself walking to the training room as slowly as possible, trying to figure out in my head what this conversation could be about.
By the time she arrived, Summitt was already there, waiting with the team's athletic trainer.
So I get in there and sit down, and, you know, Pat just starts talking about just how proud she is of me, and, you know, just having me a part of the team is just great, and, you know, worked so hard, and, like, she just went through all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, like, this is good, all right. And then she gets to a point, she was like, you know, when people can't see, what do they need? And I was like, well, they need glasses. You know, they got to be able to see, so get some glasses, get contacts. I wear both, so not ashamed for either one of them. And then, you know, she asked, well, like, when people walk with a limp or, you know, need a little bit of assistance, what do they need? You know, so we went through a series of questions, and the last question that she asked was, when people can't hear, what do they need? And I remember almost hit myself on the head, like, how did I get set up in this conversation? But I was like, yeah, I mean, they need hearing aids. Through the few weeks that I was there, there must have been a couple of times where I didn't fully hear some of the things that she had delivered. And so she kind of started, like, keeping up with that. And so Pat just said, she said, you know what, one day your story will impact thousands, maybe millions of people. I suggest that you get back in the way in your hearing aid. We can get back into speech therapy. That can help you. And, you know, she's like, I want to help you be the best version of yourself.
So before the 1997-98 season began, Tamika started wearing her hearing aids again for the first time since third grade. As a freshman, Tamika averaged 18.2 points and 8 rebounds and helped Tennessee win the national championship. And while she was in the WNBA, she started using her celebrity to talk about her experiences with hearing impairment. Here's Tamika during a TED Talk she gave last year.
Going to University of Tennessee, Pat gave me a platform to be different, a platform to speak up, a platform to stand out.
If you could go back and talk to the little girl who threw away her hearing aids, what would you say?
I'd say everything's going to be okay. This is what you're going through now. But one day you'll look back and this will just be a part of your story. You will one day impact thousands, maybe millions of people. People ask all the time, if you could change one thing about your life, what would you change? And honestly, I am the person that I am today because of everything that I went through. So I wouldn't change anything.
That story came from Only a Game's Jonathan Chang. Tamika Catchings is currently the vice president of basketball operations for the Indiana Fever.